It's Wednesday, so that means we talk agriculture with the experts from Brandt's. Join us on this Wednesday, John Allen, retail sales manager. I'm not sure that's the exact title, John, but it's been a while since we talked. Good to talk to you. And I guess a week or so ago, all the rain we had, things are in pretty good shape for the shape we're in here.
You know, they really are. And to tell you the truth, Roger, the volume of rain that we received and to sustain it as well as we did shocked me. I thought we'd have more issues with flooding and crop concerns. And there are obviously places where you see fields that soybeans, particularly because you can't see over the corn. But we've lost some crop. But the old timers always say, whenever I don't grow a crop in that wet hole, because it's too wet, that's usually when I have my best overall production. So I think we're fortunate. We got through that abundance of rain in good shape. We got a tremendous environment out here for disease, and there's a lot of fungicide applications going on in corn and soybeans. And markets are pretty crazy, but we're pretty fortunate all together.
We really are, and as you mentioned that, of course, I guess one of the first questions is being in charge of procuring supplies, et cetera. Are the fungicides in pretty good supply right now for application on both corn and soybeans?
Well, you know, actually, Joe Hermes takes care of the crop protection products now, and I moved into another role there in January, but we're pretty fortunate. The discussion is that a lot of the generics, the inventories were challenged, and there were some issues there. But supply demand is going to be really, really high. But I suggest we knock on wood, because right now we're able to get what we need and don't have any sense of urgency regarding supply. There again, we're early compared to a lot of the parts of the world. We did have some focus on procuring inventory because of the glufosinate and glyphosate shortages and projected fungicide shortages. So I guess we're lucky again in that regard.
So at this point, is it too early for people to start thinking about next year? And I'm thinking just not with the herbicides and whatnot, but as I understand it, you know, there's a talk that seed cost will be up, fertilizer cost will be up. A lot of market analysts are suggesting that, it could slim the profits next year. What are you hearing?
Well, I think that obviously the fertilizer markets are up, and they'll throw all kinds of reasons for that. Truth of the matter is, from my experience, it seems like whenever the grain prices get high, the fertilizer markets go up, and blame it on whatever they want. Take a little bit of a windfall there. But relative to the crop prices, I would say that seed, fertilizer, and anything with crop protection, probably a better buy, a greater return on investment maybe than we've ever seen because of the really high strength in the market, even what's happened yesterday and a little bit of today. So from a fall fertilizer perspective, you know, we work closely with our customers to procure a supply for them. Now, that's not to say that Brand has a bunch of fertilizer that they can take out into the market and sell to other people, non-customers or non-historical customers at a price better than the market, but we'll make certain that we put our customers in good shape relative to the market. And I think everybody that's been in business for a long time probably takes a similar view.
And each year, for the past several years now, we've heard that while we're not talking necessarily fertilizer, lime, that if you need to lime some, a lot of times this begins to be the time to get that brought in. What's the supply on lime look like?
Well, the little bit of discussions I've had is actually really good. One of my biggest concerns was the windmill project that's going on in the Alexander, New Berlin area there. And all the rock that they needed, I thought maybe that we would have a shortage of lime. But some of the managers have talked to the people at the quarry, and they've led us to believe that our supply is good. And I know we're hauling some. Dumping it where we can in the fields. It's always a good idea to get your lime stockpiled in the summer months if you can, because trucks and limestone both tend to be short in the fall. And if you've got some soil test results and you know that you're hopefully going to get some lime on this fall, I would certainly suggest get it laid in where you can.
And I guess with that thought in mind, of course, people need to, I guess, during these dog days of summer, get in and kind of go over those soil tests to try to make those plants.
Really good planning. We appreciate that greatly. The Brandt guys have got all the soil test information in an organized fashion and can go through it field-by-field basis and prescribe the fertilizer that will be the best return and really, from an investment perspective, the best opportunity for the grower.
So I know, of course, Jacob Winans has been out, I assume has been, using a lot of drones. What are you hearing from your field advisors out there? The one thing that I notice is that a lot of corn plants are, you know, some fields are tasseling, some are not, and that's probably because of the planting differences.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm hearing. You know, one of the advantages that we have with the newer developed fungicides is that we don't have the risk that we used to have with the older fungicides and the concern about arrested ear syndrome because of the new products. They can go on earlier. They've got a lot more residual value. They're going to last 45 days or so, which is a great thing. Their broader spectrum in the diseases that they control and the adjuvants that are needed with them don't put you at risk of having the beer can or arrested ear syndrome. So the opportunity with fungicide can go on earlier. We don't need to wait till that first brown silk to do it on corn. Get the tassels out there and we can go. And it makes it a lot more flexible, better for the aerial applicators, better for us. And our team's staying very busy staging fungicide applications now to try to make sure we're as timely as we can be. But the array of products has certainly improved greatly over the past few years.
And interesting enough, I think we'll probably see quite a few beans sprayed here at the same time we're spraying corn.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're going to keep everybody busy. Of course, one of the challenges with all the rain was that ground rig applications, which we've been able to utilize in soybeans the last few years, were challenged because of those wet holes that exist out there for the heavy rain. And beans were struggling. They could have used a nice fungicide application to kind of bring them out of that stressful situation. But a lot of fields, even still, have got wet spots in them that we've got to be careful of.
And I know that I haven't heard any yet, but have you heard any wheat yields? I know there was a little more wheat this year than what we've maybe seen in the past years.
You know, I've only heard a couple, and I felt so bad for so many people when we had all the rain and the wind and some things, and wheat was down. But the two people I've talked to told me that it was amazingly good wheat still, and the condition was a lot better than they'd anticipated. They got to worrying about with all the moisture and the heat and the ripeness and getting some sprouting or something. But last night, stopped to talk to a guy while he was cutting wheat, and he said, I said, how's the yield? And he put thumbs up, and I said, quality, and he put thumbs up again. So one other person had reported to me that the quality of the wheat was exceptional. Now, that was before the rain. So everything I've received is good news. Shocked that it is, because I was very concerned about it, but everything I've heard so far is good.
Well, and then, of course, I think in a lot of those instances, a lot of people are going to try and double crop beans.
Yeah, the delay that we got, timing is so critical with double crop soybeans, and we thought we were going to get in there that last part of June when the wheat was ripe or just getting ripe, and we'd have an early opportunity to get back in there and plant some soybeans. That was delayed, and I do see the little bit of wheat that was cut before we got all the water, and there's some soybeans that are up and look like they got a really good stand, and we got some more rain in the forecast. The temperatures are moderate, and so we could get a good double crop soybean, those ones that have been planted. We'll have to wait and see about what we get back in plant now.
Right. And, of course, that opens up the question. I mean, in past years, maybe going back 3-4 years ago, you could have used an extend bean and used dicamba, but this year that won't work on double crops, right?
No, it certainly won't, and that puts you into a much tougher weed control perspective. So, you know, fortunately, a lot of our annual weeds don't tend to germinate this time of year and on, but we know that the amaranth species, both water hemp and palmer, they're pretty pretty liberal in their seeding and sprouting and coming up. So we're probably going to deal with some weed control challenges there. But, you know, the price of soybeans, I think people that have got an opportunity certainly be out there planting some beans and trying to capture what they can.
No doubt. And, of course, one of the disturbing things, I guess, was this week I did see a story out of both Arkansas and Tennessee saying that they're noticing now even the possibility of some Palmer amaranth in those two states that are going to be resistant to the glufosinate.
You know, I've heard a couple of reports of resistance this year to the same effect of that, and even beyond that, somebody told me they were reporting some water hemp in corn, and it wasn't palmer, but it was water hemp in corn that was looked to be resistant to the mesotrione or the HPPB chemistries and the dicamba. So that puts us in a real challenge up there. We've just got to remember to use those soil-based residual herbicides and to rotate things so that we can hopefully minimize that resistance.
Well, let me conclude. Of course, we've had the Sangamon County Fair this week, the Morgan County Fair. I think everyone's excited to have some back in-person events like that. Your agronomy field day there at Plains, is that scheduled for this year?
We've got the one at Pleasant Plains scheduled for, I'll make sure I say this right, we've got July 15th and July 22nd for our field days between Bloomington and Pleasant Plains. Yeah, Pleasant Plains will be the 15th, July 15th, a little earlier this year, and then July 22nd, we'll have one up at our Lexington facility. So looking forward to those. Like the fairs. Nice to have them back on the calendar, and I really applaud the Morgan County Fair Board for the efforts they've done to get a really nice program put together for this fair, and the weather's going to be decent. Hopefully they'll get a good crowd, and we'll be back to normal.
Well, I know on your field day there at Plains, that's coming up. I'm glad I asked. That's next week. So I've driven by there a couple of times. Things look like they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, they are. Ed Corrigan does a magnificent job of managing that research farm out there, and his crops and are always great, and does a wonderful job of manicuring that and takes great pride in it. So we're very fortunate to have him in that role and take care of that.
And I guess with that in mind, I know each year he does different things. Do you know anything that is kind of a new experiment, so to speak, this year that he's planning on that try to whet the appetite of people that might want to get an invitation and come?
You know, I can't put a name to anything. I know that there's a lot of work going on right now with biologicals and even from a soil applied with maybe a starter and biologicals and seed treatments as well. He's doing a lot in that regard, but boy, to put a name to it or get specific, I'll rely on Ed for that.
Okay. Well, again, of course, after a year of COVID and all, it is nice to have these events. And we're, as you say, I think pretty well blessed with the way the crops look here. How would your assessment of the crops be at this point? Are we set up for maybe close to, I hate to say record yields, but close to that?
I would say that we're set up to have some really good yields in a lot of places. There's areas of our trade that aren't as fortunate from maybe some dry weather earlier and too wet a weather after that. But right here in the world that we live in every day, I think we've got a great opportunity at this stage of the game.
Well, I would agree. And again, always thank you.
Always a pleasure, Roger, and maybe I'll run into you out at the fairgrounds this week.
And again, our thanks to John Allen with Brandt's as we talk agriculture on a Wednesday with the folks from Brandt's. And certainly right now, this area still seems to be, in many people's opinion, some of the best areas in the country. And even though the markets have sold off due to some of the rain up in the northern part of the belt, some of the totals I saw over the last 48 hours or so, not as robust as what they were saying. And of course, we have more in our forecast. With that, we wrap up today's feature.